Well, we got a lot of folks over there. Okay, well, God bless you. Wonderful to be together this wonderful morning. Welcome you folks on the conference call line. Great to be with the believers, no doubt about it. We're going to look at a subject here that I trust if you can really grasp and set it in your heart, it will really help you walk with great power in this life. And, you know, lots going on in this world, isn't there? A lot of crazy stuff happening. So we want to be on top of it. And there's only one person that can be on top of it all the time, every time, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he's seated in the heavenlies. So obviously he's on top of it. So I'm going to share with you a system, something that I trust will help you walk with great power in your life. And this is a system that's been recognized around the world in many different cultures. And it's what you call your power of attorney. Your power of attorney. Now, what is the attorney? What does that mean? Basically, what that means is that you have the right to use someone else's name and the authority and the power that that name represents. You get to use that name. That's a power of attorney, okay? And if you want to know more details about it, there's different types of power of attorney in the legal world. You can talk to my son, James. But let me share with you an example, so that you can really get a picture in your mind what it means here to utilize someone else's name, and that name, behind that name, there's great power and ability there, okay? And this story I'm going to tell you is based on a true event, personally for me. A number of years ago, I was in the Any Uras out there? Joe? Okay. And I was an officer. I was a second lieutenant, okay, in the military. Now, to understand this story, you got to understand the level of ranks here. The lowest rank for an officer is a second lieutenant. The next level or the next step is a first lieutenant. Then you go up to captain. Then you go to major, then you go to lieutenant colonel, then you go to colonel. What's next? General, all right? Go to the general. Well, I'm down here as a second lieutenant, okay? And my first job in the military, it was up here at Camp Pendleton, was the athletic director of the regiment, 3rd Marine Regiment. So it was up in the northern part of the base there. And a regiment consists of the commanding officer is a colonel. And below him are lieutenant colonels and majors that have battalions. And then you got companies and platoons, okay? So, but I'm still just a what? Second lieutenant. But I'm the athletic officer for the whole regiment. So I get to sit in on these meetings, these weekly command meetings where the colonel has the battalion commanders in there, the lieutenant colonels, the majors, the staff people. They're all in there. And here's me, tall second lieutenant, Linfelt. And I get to share different athletic events that will be happening on the base. Well, we had a base war. You know how they have maneuvers and things like that, right? And so the whole base was participating in this. And so being an infantry regiment, 3rd Marines, we went down to San Diego, got on some ships, amphibious ships. Ian, you're on one of those ships, or you work with those. And we floated up to Camp Pendleton off the coast, and we flew in, or we boated in, and we had this big old war going on up in Camp Pendleton. And since during maneuvers, you don't need an athletic officer, do you? No. So my job was, I was the colonel's messenger. You know, if he needed to send a messenger, I represented the colonel of the regiment. So I was with him. We were at a meeting with the general. So we're getting the, you know, the main command here is telling us, giving us orders what to do. So I'm waiting outside because they don't let second lieutenants in meetings with generals. And the colonel comes out, and all of a sudden, the referee comes in. Now, when you're doing maneuvers, they have these people that are referees, and they come in and they set up scenarios. They might say, an artillery shell just went off and it blew up this section, and now you got to do without that particular thing. Well, a referee came in and said, boom, all communication is dead. You can't call on your radios, no more. And the colonel says, man, I got to get the message out to my battalion commanders on the front line. Okay, Bob, you're my messenger. You represent me. Get in my helicopter. The colonel has his own helicopter. So I got to fly in his helicopter to the front lines, and I went up to the battalion commanders, lieutenant colonels. And I said, sir, I need to talk to you, and I need to give you some orders. And they kind of looked at me like, you're a little second-handed. How can you talk to me like that? Well, I represent the colonel today. We're up with the general. We've got orders. And so they gathered around, and I gave the orders that came down from the general. Now, how could I give orders that would be implemented by higher-ranking officers? I had the power of attorney. I represented the colonel, the regimental commander. So that is simply what a power of attorney is. Now, what about Christians? Can we exercise some kind of a power of attorney? Yes, we can. So let's go in your Bibles, if you will, to John 14. Okay, so remember, power of attorney is the legal right to use the name of a person who has given you that power. Here we see in John 14, 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus Christ was setting up a power of attorney here. You could ask in what? My name, the name of Jesus, I'm going to do it so the Father can be glorified. And verse 14 says, if you shall ask anything, he's making sure they got the point. He's duplicating it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, talk about a power of attorney. And how much power does Jesus Christ have? A lot of power. We're going to see that big time, big time. You know, it's interesting. If you remember Christ, when he was on earth working with his disciples, the apostles, he sent out the 12 on a mission, right? Two by two. Remember that? And then later on, he sent out how many? 70, right? And so what was their response after experiencing this? Because here are these disciples, these followers of Jesus, all of a sudden they were doing the works that Jesus did. They were healing people, delivering people from devil spirits. My goodness, they were doing some great things. How could they do that? Jesus Christ gave them the authority and the power to use his name. And it says in the scriptures, they return with joy, saying, even the devils are subject to thy name. Wow. Those apostles really exercised power because they had the name of Jesus Christ that they could use as their power of attorney. We have the privilege to do the same thing today. He has given us this right to do that. Now you might ask, wait a minute, how could we, little old us, you and I, be able to walk with great power? Well, let's take a look at God's word. Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. It says, if children, it's talking about born-again believers, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, where does that put us in the family? If we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that puts us right up there with Him, doesn't it? So we're in this family, God's family. We're His kids. We're born again of God's Spirit, so we can walk with the power of Christ within. We're joint heirs with Christ. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 9. This should really set it for us right here. This verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above how many names? Every name. Every name. There's no name bigger than the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Every knee should bow. You know, what a wonderful figure of speech. When you bow to somebody, then you recognize their authority and power and abilities, don't you? Every knee. And that knee's going to bow to what? The name of Jesus Christ. What name do you use to pray with? The Lord Jesus Christ? How big are your prayers? Do you take God at His word that you can ask anything in His name and He's going to do it? You know, what opportunities we have, really, to tap in to the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's take a look at Acts 2:38. God has given us a name with great authority, with great power, and we can use that name. And we have the right to use that name because we're sons of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. And Jesus Christ, when He died, God raised Him from the dead. He was 40 days on the earth, and He ascended up, right, into heaven. And right before He ascended up, He said to the apostles, He said, you're going to receive power after that what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. What great expectations. You're going to receive power, power, when that Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, we know this wonderful Word of God. We've seen other wonderful scriptures here where it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? When you're born again of God's Spirit, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you're saved. You're born again. You're in the family. You're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and you have the authority and the privilege to use the name of Jesus Christ. And you have this power of the Holy Spirit within you. So, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, and this was the end of his big sermon here on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in what? The name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is how you get born again of the Spirit of God, when you believe and use the name of Jesus Christ. Pretty neat, huh? Let's go to Acts 3. Let's see if the apostles took advantage of this. Now, the apostles and the other believers, they could have said, well, that sure sounds good. It makes for good sermons. But, you know, my Uncle Charlie, he's pretty strong. He's the governor of the city here. I'll just bank on his power. Or they could recognize that they could use the name of Jesus Christ, because he gave them the authority and the right to use his name and the resource of the gift of Holy Spirit within. So let's see if they used the name of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, let's go there. Chapter 3 in Acts, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." What's the story here? I'm jumping right in the middle of it. What's going on where Peter would say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." The lame man, right? And so he didn't have any coins to give him alms, but what did he have? What power could he share with this man, this lame man? Yeah, Holy Spirit. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He didn't use any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. "Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received. Wow. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." I'm sorry, I'm jumping to verse 16. It's on the bottom of the screen here. But for you folks on the party line here, we're jumping to verse 16 in chapter 3. And this kind of ends the story a little bit. And he's sharing with them that the name, through the believing in his name, hath made this man strong. Al was sharing in the story of the movie with the dog, that guy believed. And that makes all the difference in the world. Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that that name has authority, that that name has power, that you can minister to people, you can pray for people in the name of Jesus Christ and see great results? We can. It does work. For sure it does. "Whom you see now, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." That's pretty neat, isn't it? This name is so powerful. Not only can you use this name to help people get delivered, healed, but for salvation purposes. Let's go to Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. And it says here, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven." Is there any other name under heaven? No. "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, the name of Fred, Charlie, even Bob will not get much results. But the name of Jesus Christ will. The name of Jesus Christ. You know, we use that name a lot, I think, when we pray, but are we really thinking about, as we use that name, are we believing? Are we convinced that there's going to be great things happening? Because we're using the name of Jesus Christ. We're taking that power of attorney that's been given to us to use his name. Well, I don't think the apostles and the believers stopped doing this. I think they found out, hey, we've got something here. We can use the name of Jesus Christ to bring great deliverance to people. Let's take a look at a record in Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned, said to the Spirit, I command thee in what? In the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out." He came out that same hour. So you and I have the great, wonderful privilege of using the name of Jesus Christ. And let's really believe that. Let's really believe. Let's take God at His word that we have the authority, the privilege, the right to do that. My closing verse is Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. And it says there, "And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Not a bad idea, huh? To walk with the authority of using the name of Jesus Christ, we can do it, and we can see wonderful things come to pass. There's nothing like the name of Jesus Christ, is there? There's nothing like the name of Jesus Christ that brings salvation and healing and full deliverance. We got the song. You don't have that song, the It Disappeared? Okay. I had a song I wanted to play by the Gaithers, Jesus. It's a great, great song. And it just gets you to think about how wonderful that name is. So, well, I'd like to pray, and then we're going to have manifestations of Holy Spirit. Hear from our Heavenly Father. Some wonderful words that will build us up. So, Father, thank You in the name of Jesus Christ for the privilege we have to be Your children, to be born again of Your Spirit, and to have the name of Jesus Christ to use anytime, all the time. And, Father, I pray that You continue to work with us and help us walk even greater than ever before as we grow and trust in Your word, trust in You working mightily within us. And I thank You for this in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, and I pray also for this wonderful time we get to hear words of exhortation and comfort via the Spirit here, where we manifest tongues of interpretation or prophecy. And we thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.